Well, Father, we just praise you for the work you're doing in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, to continue the work all the way up to when you come back, Lord, that you'll perfect us, that you're perfecting us, and you're making us that mature disciple that you want out of each one of us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. And I ask for your anointing tonight upon this whole conference call, this whole fellowship, Lord, of like-minded, like-hearted believers, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for the love that you've placed in our hearts for each one here. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I ask, Lord, that tonight that you would do a mighty work in all of us, Lord, to do two things, Lord, to show us if there's any darkness in our hearts, any kind of darkness at all, Lord, so that we could repent of it and get rid of it and get on the right road and being the race that takes us to the end. And Lord, and also, Father, I ask for your delivering power and your healing power to flow through here. And Lord, as one more thing, I sure would like to see revival break out here, that Holy Spirit wind would blow through here in a mighty way, Lord, and that the fires of revival would be sparked, and that revival would start here and go throughout the world, Lord. That would be awesome. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight all of these things that we say and do are to your glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for anointing each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Praise God. Has anyone got any prayer requests? Well, all right. I do want to ask that if you haven't listened to the first hour of the broadcast last night, of David talking about faction and the dreams we've gotten about faction, and that you would listen to it, because it is very, very informative, and it will tell you the things that we've gotten here in the last little bit shows us how faction comes in and how you can tell the signs of faction in your life or the people around you, and you can deal with it, spiritually speaking, in every way. So I would ask that you check that out on the web. It's in the update section on the left-hand side of the UBM page, and it's real good. It's one of the best teachings on faction. Eve had a dream is what happened, what sparked it all. She had an experience, actually, here just a few weeks ago with faction, and she was able to ascertain and discern that it was faction, and she laid it out, and David kind of put his input into it, too. The telltale signs, the feelings we get sometimes, and all of that, man, it's just real good. So I would encourage everybody to listen to that at least once, and it wouldn't hurt to listen to that thing two or three times to get it in your heart, because it's such a subtle demon. It's such a seducing demon as well. So I would ask you to look at it or listen to it. Yes, sir.
Hey, my phone keeps hanging up. Would you pray for this line? Because I think there's an attack on my phone. It's doing weird things.
Okay.
I've had to call back about 30 times in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, in the name of Jesus, we command that demon to stop that, messing up the communications for Chad and Charity and everybody else on this conference call. I command it to stop and cease right now. I bind up all of your activities and cast you off of these airways right now in Jesus' name. And I command those phones to work like they're supposed to, and those computers to work like they're supposed to in Jesus' name. And I command you, Satan, get your hands off of them right now. We have the authority over all of your power. And so we command it by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cease it right now. And thank you, Father, for keeping us on.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to say, share? Now, this is an open time for the fellowship here. What would you like to talk about? Yes, sir, Marlon.
This is Malcolm here.
Malcolm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just that's okay. I just, as you probably know, I just got back from Nepal and got a lot of situations and people on my heart. But there's one day we were hiking up, kind of high up in some mountains, some hills, and I came across a guy who was sick, had a number of physical problems, but the root of a lot of it was alcohol and tobacco. And there was a guy there with us who kind of wrote him off because he said, "Well, I told you you had to stay away from alcohol and cigarettes if you want to, you know, get better." And kind of put the law on him. But the poor guy is a Hindu, you know. Anyway, so after everybody was gone, I just stayed and prayed for him, addressed the alcohol and tobacco stuff, you know. I didn't see anything manifested while I was there. He's been on my heart, and they wanted me to come back that way after going up on the hillside, but it was way out of the path we were going, so I didn't see him again. Anyway, he's just way up, a little house way up in the hillside. I think the house, like all the houses up there, it all cracked and were uninhabitable, so they had little tin structures they're trying to survive in after that, those big earthquakes. It was pretty heartbreaking, but so he's been on my heart. He's an older guy, and the Lord has plenty of authority over alcohol and all that stuff.
Well, amen. Go ahead and pray, and we'll believe with you, Malcolm. You know the guy, so
okay.
Let's go with it.
Well, I don't know his name or anything, so but Lord, I just thank you that you saw the this man and his wife just so humbly praying, and you know, their whole situation, Lord. I just ask for a breakthrough there with him and his wife, and let them know that it's you and no other God responsible for his healing. And I just pray he'd be just a real powerful witness and a powerhouse for you there and up in those hills. But I just pray for a revival just sweep through there. I pray you finish the work that you've already started years ago. And with these earthquakes, I know you have something in mind that you're telling these folks. So I just pray you have mercy for your elect, Lord, and that you bring them forth. And I just long to see the day of your power there. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just put our faith together with Malcolm, and we ask, Lord, that you heal that man supernaturally and deliver him from alcohol and that addiction spirit to alcohol and cigarettes. And Father, we thank you that you give him a great vision of you, Lord, so that he would turn from that false religion and be a light for everybody around him, Lord, that he could tell of the glories and the mercy and the grace that you've given him, Lord, as far as healing him and setting him free and making him an evangelist in that area, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
I believe it, Malcolm. I believe there's going to be a revival right there.
It's hard.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Michael.
Do what?
Well, what I was going to say was it's really hard to walk past house after house and see the major cracks in the walls and the foundations and people can't live there because it's just too dangerous. And so they have these little metal kind of shacks which aren't insulated from the cold or the heat. And I mean, they're trying to get by. But, you know, you feel like, well, if I could just help this one person, then you walk a few more feet, and then you got another house with the same situation, another family trying to deal with everything. And when you consider this is in the tens and hundreds of thousands of homes like this, it's a little overwhelming. And you just can't throw, I mean, what if there's a really rich person that could come along and just if you build everybody's house for them. Now, Jesus dealt with, he didn't throw money at the situation. He presented the gospel. So I had to kind of reevaluate, well, what's the most important thing here? How am I working with God's program, or do I have my own solution? You know what I mean?
Yeah, getting the gospel to them is the most important. Once they get the gospel to them and they're discipled, that's the next part, and they're discipled, then God can help them because he'll give them faith. He'll give them the faith to believe for things, you know, to believe that he could do that for them. I think it's, you know, speaking of that, Malcolm, before I came on, I was listening to, I didn't get to listen to a whole lot of it, but over in Nigeria, apparently there are millions of Muslims coming to Christ. And there's been an evangelistic effort over there, and they are seeing millions come to Christ over there. It's just amazing. Seems like the whole countryside is coming to Christ over there. They're holding outside evangelistic crusades, so to speak, and it's, the people just as far as the eye can see are out there bowing down, crying, and giving their heart to Jesus. It's just awesome to see. He can do that there in Nigeria. He can do it in Nepal. And if he can do it in Nepal, he can do it in Syria. If he can do it in Syria, he can do it in Iran. He can do it anywhere he wants to. But it's just God can turn them on, boy, to Jesus. And that looks like what he's doing over there in those Muslim countries. And he could do the same thing in the Hindu countries, too. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, prayer, anything? It's open. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, this is Dave. I was going to say I'm being exposed to a lot of faction at work lately. I see it just come right blatantly in my face. So and it really makes me fearful when I see it. You know, it just jumps right at me. I try to avoid it, get away from it as fast as I can. But one woman in particular, I know it's demonic. I can see it, you know, because I've talked to her about it before, and all of a sudden she just kind of came at me the other day. And I thought, what is this? And I just got away from her. So that does concern me, Michael. I got to tell you, it concerns me to be around factious people because I am around it a lot, especially where I work, you know. So, and I'm, you know, I tell you, the times, the way Satan's trying to take and jump on us in any way he can, that does concern me about how bad this thing and nasty things are going to get around here, you know, with our spiritual fight.
Amen. That factious spirit is for one reason, that's to cause division in the body. That's what he wants to do. He wants to cause division, and he wants to cause you to fail and to fall. And that's his main objective. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against that factious spirit that's attacking David, and we command it to loose itself from him. We bind you up and cast you out. And, Lord, we thank you that you're showing David that it is what it is. And, Lord, teaching him how to rebuke it, come against it. And do it before it ever happens. Just start praying before it happens. Lord, we ask that you put a hedge of protection around about him and everybody else in this UBM fellowship, that faction wouldn't get in. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's a nasty spirit, David.
Yeah, what I've been seeing.
Yeah, go ahead. We lost you, David, I guess.
Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Oh. All right. I'll figure my phone out one of these days. I will say what I'm seeing is that people will just come up and just start talking bad stuff about people real quick. And they'll get mad and they'll just start talking nasty stuff about people. And they're like, whoa. And so I'll try to direct the conversation real quick. I'll try to say, well, you know, you just got to let that go. Well, you just can't let it get under your skin. Well, you know, that's just, you know, you don't want it to go there. Just to stop them, to get them to stop talking about it, to get them turning around, you know, away from another direction. And that's what so far it's been kind of successful. But one lady in particular, the way she came at me, I could see, and then afterwards, the way she reacted, it was like, nah, it's a little more than just a person being directed. This person's actually, there's something else here a little stronger. And, you know, I think I'm going to have to talk to her about it. And I hate to cut fellowship off people. It's not like I want to cut for fellowship, but at the same time, I want them to understand this is a problem. And this is not, this woman in particular, I've told her about this before because she says she's a Christian. And I try to make her understand what this is all about. So this time I'm going to have to really set her down and say, this is the last time I have to say this. You know, I don't want to go there, but it's like, you know, you're not seeing this as for what it is, or else you have no control on this, and it's controlling you. And I, you know, I want to be gentle about this. At first you start getting upset because you're around it. You think, gosh, I'm tired of being around it so much, but half the time I don't think these people realize this, especially since I have more of an understanding about it now. Having been around UBM, experienced it myself, been factious, got out of that, you know, I had the spirits come out on me before. I know what I'm looking for. You see it. You know, you're, it helps that you have experience with it a little bit. I'm not saying that's a good thing to have, but at least I know what I'm seeing. And I hope nobody else has to experience that in the body, but if you have, feel free to talk about it. And I'll tell you, tonight would be a good night to probably get it out so everybody's aware. But the first thing I see is people come up just now and start talking bad things about other people all the time. And that just seems to be the way they talk. It's like they'll start a conversation and they'll start slamming somebody or speaking bad things about somebody else, or I don't know why this person's like that. They'll start out, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, why do we always have to talk about other people? what is that? Where is that taking you? So, anyways, that's just a little sharing on this.
Amen. Hey, is this a in a fellowship that you attend, or?
No, this is where I work.
Oh, where I work. Okay.
I face this every day.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm wondering if it might not be a crucifixion of your flesh. I don't know. Are these Christians?
Well, you know, you're going to have denominational Christians here. You're not going to have UBM type people. So I'm probably the only one that I know of. I'm the way I am.
Yeah.
There might be a few others that don't go to church that study or are doing things, but they aren't spirit filled. So I don't know if anybody else in where I work is spirit filled. I put it that way. I'm working with, you know, hundreds of people. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's when you're working with people that. That might be a sticky situation there. I don't know if it worked for you or what it is, but as far as talking against somebody else, or they coming up to you and start talking to somebody else, if you're a Christian, you can point out to them Matthew 18, 15 through 17, you know, and show them, hey, look, that's against God's word. If you got something against somebody, that's unforgiveness, and that unforgiveness can send you to hell. So, you know, you might ought to think about what you're doing. And that's where I'd go with it. That's unforgiveness in their heart. They don't understand a faction and that kind of thing because that's all they've done all their life. You know, I've known people like that, and I've done it myself back, you know, before I knew anything about it. And it took coming to UBM and listening to David talking about and experiencing what it does. It's a bad demon, as you well know. It's a bad demon. And, you know what David did to me one time, and I never will forget it, you know. I went over to him, and this has been a few years back. And I said, well, you know, this person did this, and he said that. And I'll tell you what, I just think that's something, don't you? He just turned around and walked off. Well, I learned right quick that he wasn't going to listen to it. He just never said a word, just turned around and walked off. And I said, oh, my goodness, what did I do? What did I say? You know, because I didn't know any better. But he taught me a good lesson that he ain't going to sit there and listen to it. He's just going to turn around and walk away from it. And it worked with me. I found out real quick he didn't want that stuff around. So,
yeah, I was thinking that's how you approach it. You just walk away from the people. I mean, you don't. It's not like you're disfellowshipping, is it? I'm not sure how. I mean, I'm trying to do this in a way that, you know, not so. But you have to do something. You know, I'm trying to.
Well, you can do this one time. You can tell them, look, the first time they do it, and they like I said, they don't understand it. So you can say, well, Matthew. What is it? Good gracious, I'm drawing a neutral here. 18. Yeah, Matthew 18 and 15 says, if you have aught against your brother, to go to that brother and tell him about it. And if he repents, fine, you know, everything's fine. You've gained a brother. But if he doesn't, take a witness to him and just go through those whole verses there with him and say, I'm not going to listen to it because it gets a spirit that's on people. And then the next time they come up, just turn around and walk off. They'll get the picture that you're not going to listen to it. But look, you got to understand, they're in an apostate religion probably. And you got to be weak to the weak, but you also have to be firm in what you stand for and not listen to it. And so you can just turn around and walk off. And if they come up and say, well, why did you walk off? You say, and just tell them, say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I want to live by the Bible. And the Bible says this. And just go through the thing with them again if they don't remember, and say I just can't stand I can't stand around and listen to you talk about somebody else behind their back. If you've got something against them, go to them. The word said if they're a Christian, if they're not a Christian, you just have to tell them. Say, look, I'm a Christian, and here's what the word says about talking about other people behind their back. If you got something against them, go to them and tell them. Don't go to somebody else and talk about the guy behind his back because he can't defend himself. But if you go to him, you know, you can get things squared away with him. But I'm not going to sit here and listen to you. So I love you, brother or sister, but I'm just not that way. I'm trying to walk this walk with Christ, and they'll understand your walk, and they'll be watching you. And you're not being critical. You're being weak to the weak, but you're also standing up for what the word says in a nice, loving way. And don't hammer them over the head with the word, because that's not going to help them. It has to be. Now, if you're in a fellowship setting, that's a different application altogether. And like in this fellowship here, if we have somebody that goes around talking about somebody, people know in this fellowship that if somebody talks about somebody else, what that is faction pure and simple, and it's exposed immediately, and it's taken care of immediately. And you know, in the past, people would blow up and leave. Or they would repent and stay, you know, because they just didn't understand. But now, the people that are here now, they understand. And they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to repent. Well, almost 100% of the time now, they repent, you know, and come back in, you know, and they quit it. They didn't understand the severity of faction. They didn't understand the nature of faction. Faction will jump on you if you sit there and listen to it. That spirit will jump on you. I'm talking about in a fellowship setting. That spirit of faction will jump on you, and you will be taken out if you sit there and listen to it. I can tell you my experience with it the first time. I had a man came to my room and wanted to talk with me, and he said, Brother Michael, said, I know you're a godly man. And I, that should have that should have put a bug in my ear right then when he started all of that sweet talk, you know. He said, I just want to let you know how I stand, you know, and I just don't agree with David when he says this, and I just don't, you know. And he started all that mess, and I sit there and listen to it for an hour and a half or 2 hours because I didn't know any better. This was way back when. The next day, I was leaving, and this guy somebody else was with me. And then when I was leaving out, David was out in the driveway talking to somebody else, and I was leaving out. I just stopped the truck, and I jumped out, and I looked at David, and I said, you got something against me? Craziest thing I've ever... And I got back in the truck, and David looked at me with a quizzical look, and he said, what, no? And I got back in the truck, and I was going down the driveway, and I said, what did I say that for? And it was the demon that guy had placed on me. And so I immediately started rebuking that thing and commanding it to get off of me, because that was the strangest thing. That thing, for me sitting there listening to that guy for 2 hours, I guess it was, had jumped on me and had really taken me over. So it's a very subtle, but it is a powerful, powerful demon. And to deal with it, you deal with it in the world gently but firmly, as David, like you were talking about. But you deal with it in a way that they understand your walk, that you're not going to, you don't have to sit there and listen to it, and you're not going to. But you do it in a way that they understand, and it's not offensive to them, you know. Too bad. But you do want to, portray yourself as a man walking with Christ. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to add to that?
Hey, Michael, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any words of wisdom or advice when that faction is amongst family members, like brothers and sisters? Actual brother and sister.
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, you know, I don't know if you know it, Chris, but I've got two other brothers and two sisters live back in Arkansas, and I had one of them come out here to check and see if the Kool-Aid was still in the backyard, you know. And I've had to deal with that, and the way I deal with it, you know, I just sit them down and I tell them, I said, you know, you can read anything on the internet, because they go on the internet, you know. First thing they want to do is find out something bad about why you went there and who you with, you know, David Eels, and they'll go in there and they'll find all these negative websites. And that's the first thing they want to do is to believe those people over and above going on the site and looking at the information that's on UBM's site and seeing what the belief system is. Because that's what they do, you know. And y'all can relate to that, because I'm sure at some point in your life back in time you've done the same thing in one way or another. But that's what happens. And so what I do now is how since the beginning is just tell them, say, look, the Lord told me to come out here. The Lord has shown me that the truth. And if you can't accept that, and I can show you in the Word of God where this belief system that we're in is the truth, but you still don't want to accept it, I can't help you, but I'm going to pray for you. I'm really going to pray for you that God would open up your spiritual eyes to see. Now, they might get mad at you and say, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. That's just, and Chris, you've probably had this happen to you too, where they say, well, that's just your interpretation of the scriptures, you know. And you ask them, well, how would you interpret it? You know, and you don't try to get in an argument with them. You just, you try to love on them and say, look, brother, I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. And at some point in time, we're going to come to an understanding. Do what, Chris?
Well, I was just going to say that. I mean, I'm right there at that point.
Yeah.
With a brother and a sister. And I just, I don't want to handle the word wrong. But I also need to make my stand for Jesus, and I just, you know, I'm trying to, that's good advice. I just, You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, try to meet them on their level. I don't know what they do, but I've got a farmer brother, you know, and I said, Marvin, his name is Marvin. I said, Marvin, you know, if somebody comes in here and tries to tell you there's a better way of farming, and you listen, but you don't try it, and you start criticizing him, I said, that's wrong, isn't it? He said, well, yeah. Well, that's what you're doing, you know. And you try to put it in a way that they understand it. And if the truth be known, I can put a website on the internet, and I can slam Chris Garber. I can slam Chris Garber, and if somebody has something out against you, they'll go on that website and they'll get that factious spirit and they'll be spreading that stuff like wildfire, right? I just like I told my wife, I said, you know, somebody could put a website up there and say that Jeanette Hare is a murderer and a liar, and she did this and she did that, and you know it's a lie, I know it's a lie, but them people out there don't know it's a lie because they don't know you. I said, that's the same thing you're doing to David and UBM. You're slandering good, godly people, not knowing the people. I said, that's wrong. That's not what God said to do. And you have to do it like that, you know, but do it in love, not to slam them or anything, but just do it in love. Pray before you. I tell you what, I've done this, and God just brings the words out a lot of time. If you pray before you talk with them, ask the Lord to give you wisdom and the words to say. You'll be amazed at what comes out of your mouth. You'll be amazed. Because it'll make so much sense to you. And it may not make a whole lot of sense to them at the time, but somewhere down the road, they'll understand it. We have to have faith for our loved ones, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. I hope that made sense, Chris.
It does. Thank you very much. The last time I prayed and I asked the Father for direction, my mouth was closed.
Well, but he does that sometimes, and sometimes we don't like it, but that's what he wants us to do, because anything you say is not going to help. Praise God. That's good.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody
Michael,
else?
I got a question.
Yeah, Martin, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. There's a lot of people, you know, we talk to them about, you know, it's spirits that are bothering you. You need to cast those down. But if they don't have the sound spirit field, does it do them any good to try and cast them spirits out? I mean, yeah, we can bind up works and activities, but we all know them spirits will try and come back, and there comes a time when you have to be able to cast them down yourself. So are those people able to do that if they aren't spirit filled or not?
Well, I remember what happened to the people that David talked about when he was in that homeless shelter. I've seen this happen too. Spirit-filled people come in there, and they can. That's the overcoming power right there. Is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to be in the deliverance ministry. That's crazy. That's crazy because you're dealing with powerful demonic spirits with yourself, not with Christ. You're dealing with yourself. I wouldn't want to do that. So to answer your question, I have prayed for people that work spirit-filled, and the next time I saw them, they were worse off than they were the first time. What I tell them, Marlon, is this. Look, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if they say, well, I am filled because I got filled with the Holy Spirit at my salvation. Well, then you say, well, that's not what happened to, you know, what Paul was, or that the book of Acts talks about, that this is separate, it's a separate infilling. It's a separate baptism. Anyway, you can take it that away, or you can just say, look, brother, are you filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And they said, no, man, not me. I ain't doing that, man. Well, say, then I can't pray for you until you do, because of what's going to happen is if we pray those spirits out of you, then that spirit's going to go out there, and he's going to do a wheelie, and he's going to bring back seven friends worse than he was back into you, and you're going to be worse off than you were the last time that I prayed for you. I said, and I tell him, it's going to get harder and harder every time that you get, unless you get filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, that's the way I've gone at it. Now, if somebody else has got a better way, man, let me know, because that'd be awesome.
Yeah, people are, it almost seems like they're scared of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, they are. They are, because they've been taught that tongues is of the devil. A lot of them have. And they're scared of it, you know. And you have to look, go search the Word. Get on the, you know, and you might even give them Rex Verone's audio. And also, it's a transcript now, I think, of the Holy Spirit baptism. And he goes all the way from the Old Testament all the way through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's real good, and they can't deny it once they read that or listen to it.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've also thought that when people are scared about being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think it's the demons in them that are scared too. And it's a real fear.
Bingo. Bingo. That's right, Malcolm. Yep, it's those spirits. It's those religious spirits that don't want to be. That they don't want to have any competition either, because they know once you get filled with the Holy Spirit, they got that you've got power over them. And they have to go. That's good. Thank you, Malcolm. What do you think, Marlon? That sound good? I mean, did that answer your question?
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. I just wondered whether, and I'm thinking of, I've got a sister that's, we're trying to, you know, trying to show her truth, and she's trying to believe her healings and stuff, but she's not filled with the Spirit, and you know, you tell her to cast those spirits down when they come, but probably don't even do any good for her to try and do that, does it?
Well, it depends. You know, if she's wanting a healing, she can get the healing, but she has to have that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in order to keep her healing most of the time. Now, I have seen people that weren't filled with the Holy Spirit keep their healing, depending on what it was. But if it's like cancer or something like that, you know, that's a tough one. I don't know. I do know that I prayed for people that weren't filled with the Holy Spirit and they kept their healing, and I prayed for some that also lost their healing because they didn't have that overcoming power to quit opening the doors to Satan to allow him back in. Remember what the Word says. The Word says that demon's going to go out there and do a wheelie, and he's going to come back and find out if that house has been swept clean. You need to fill it with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's what God's wanting us to do. And you can tell him, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that demon's going to go out there, he's going to come back, and he's going to jump back on you. If there's a way, if you got sin in your life, if you've got unforgiveness in your life, if you've got any kind of sin in your life, that demon's got a gate to come back in. And so that's what you can tell them. I always try not to pray for them unless the Holy Spirit tells me to. If the Holy Spirit tells me to, it doesn't make any difference if we're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. God's going to work it out in them. I hope that made sense. I know I kind of rambled there a little bit, but most generally I'm being led by the Holy Spirit to whether or not I pray for somebody with or without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know I prayed for a lady one time, Marlon. She was a Baptist. And hang on just a second. And crazy enough, the Lord had me in it, that Baptist church. It was a small Baptist church. And I was teaching faith. That preacher allowed me to teach faith on Wednesday nights. And then one Sunday, we were in there, and somebody was telling how this lady was, that she was really, really in bad shape with cancer, and that she couldn't even hold her baby. She was in her brand new granddaughter, I think it was, because of the pain that the cancer was creating in her body. And I said, well, let's just go over there and pray for her. Well, they didn't understand, but I knew what was going to happen because that was what the Lord told me to do. And on the way out, he said, get the preacher to go with you. And the young guy that runs the young kids, youth pastor, he said, bring him with you too. And so I told him, I said, y'all come on, go with me. Let's go pray for that lady. Got over there and, she was sitting on the couch and she was moaning and groaning and all that stuff. And I said, you ready to get out of that cancer mode? She said, I sure am. I said, you ready to get rid of that pain? I said, you believe that God can do it? She said, I know he can. I said, well, that's a good start. In the name of Jesus, get up. And I said, I commanded that pain to go. I commanded that cancer to go. I commanded that spirit of death off of her. And she got up. And she was free from that cancer. That pastor's eyes got big as saucers, man. He couldn't believe his eyes. And I said, where's that grandbaby? Oh, my. She grabbed that grandbaby and she danced around that floor with him. This is a lady about 55 or so. And she grabbed that baby. She said, I'm free. Praise God. But you know what happened to her, Marlon? She kept going to that Baptist church. It was an unbelieving church. And that cancer took her out a little while later. Came back on her and took her out. Because of the Baptist doctrine that they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, for a little while, she was free. And I don't believe that she went to hell. I believe she went to heaven, but because she loved God. But, you know, my people die for lack of understanding, the Lord says in Hosea. So, yeah, it grieves you to see that, but that's just the way God works, you know. So, sometimes, yeah, sometimes, no. But I always try to make sure it's the Holy Spirit that leads me into somebody that's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Has anybody else got any experience like that? Go ahead, Marlon.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else want to talk about faction? What it is, how to avoid it, anything in that realm. Y'all agree with me in prayer here right quick, will you? In the name of Jesus right now, I come against this spirit of infirmity that's trying to come on me right now in Jesus' name. I command the runny nose to stop in Jesus' name. I command the body to line up with the word of God, and I command this stuff off of me right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that it is gone. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Is there anybody on here right tonight that doesn't understand what faction really is? Faction is somebody that may come up to you, just like David was talking about earlier, who comes up to you and says, you know, Sister Sue over there, she's doing this and she's doing that. And I'll tell you what. Well, see, what that does, they're planting these seeds of negativity in your mind and in your spirit about Sister Sue. And if and then what happens after that is you find yourself in fellowship, not fellowshipping anymore. Here's what we've seen here in the local. When somebody, you can tell almost immediately somebody in faction, because what they do, they start going out toward the door in fellowship. They won't sit with everybody else. They'll sit back away from everybody. And then they'll start getting further and further back. It's crazy. It's funny how it happens. And then next thing you know, they're out the door if you don't deal with it. So that's, you know, and it's, it'll take people at it. It can be a subtle thing, or it can be a glaring thing, you know, where they come up and they start talking bad about somebody, or it can be just very quiet. And you can start seeing the development of this spirit trying to take them out.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that also, because I have that feeling about wanting to attend other churches. I only want to go inside. I'm to the point that I don't feel very uncomfortable with them. I can go in there with them and do things, but it's like I just don't feel comfortable being around that environment at all. You know, that Babylonian atmosphere. I mean, I don't know if that's bad or good, but it's me. I don't even want to be around it. You know, so is that, that's not faction, is it? That's just not wanting to be around the air.
No, that's right? Good sense. That's good scriptural sense. Hey, y'all.
That's kind of what I thought, but, you know, at the same time, you're thinking, ah, boy, you just don't want to be around anybody anymore, do you, then?
Well, it's when you want to, when you start backing away from coming on the conference calls, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, that you can tell that. Hey, y'all.
Well, I've had Satan tug me at that, and I just, you know, I blow it away. I ignore it, unless I'm just really tired or something. But I the last time I felt faction is what happens is you just start getting really critical thoughts. You know, and just
there you go,
picking people apart, and then there it is. That's that spirit. It's right there. And if you can't catch it, know that it's not you, or it's making you think it's you, and you own it, and then you buy into it.
That's it, David, right there. That's when you buy into it and you believe it's you. It's not. It's that devil. Had to lose a little air there. I had to sneeze.
I think one of the other things you get, especially from Christians that I'll say don't have the spiritual reference we have, they don't have that understanding of the spiritual realm as much. So they're exposed to it. And they're exposed to people that are that are not godly, and they are very demonic, and they're very angry, and they're very factious people, and they come at them and say bad things, and they argue with them, and they just get upset. And I can understand it. I you know, that's when they get around you and it's like that, and you know, you feel like you're being defiled, but they want to talk about it too. And then it's my thinking, well, okay, do I tell these people you're dealing with a demon so that, you know, that this is what you're seeing? Or because I'm trying not to say it in a way that I'm like I'm talking bad about the other person, because I know this person and I know what they're dealing with. But at the same time, I'm trying to make it a learning experience that they understand, hey, listen, there's people out there that aren't Christians, and they're going to come out and they're going to say things because it's the demons behind them that are doing it. But I don't want to do it like I want to get in a conversation and talk trash about somebody either. I'm trying to balance that line where, okay, I'll talk about this and show you an example, and this is what you're seeing, so maybe I have an understanding now. But if they keep on coming back to me about it, I'll say, well, listen, we can't talk about this. It's not right. I just don't, it's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Yep, no, we're not supposed to be talking bad about anybody. But if it comes to you in a fellowship, you have to deal with it very quickly, because if you don't, it'll spread throughout the fellowship. That's just as a leader in the fellowship, you need to deal with it very quickly, or it'll spread throughout it, and you'll lose a lot of people that way.
I guess they kind of see it like when Jesus and the disciples came across the demoniac. I mean, they told the story. They showed what they went through, the things, you know, and they cast the demon out of them. But, you know, I don't think people are aware that that's happening today around them today, and they just get blindsided, and they don't know what they're seeing.
Well, that's true. You know, this is the only place. UBM's the only place I've ever heard of faction, you know. I've seen churches divide, and they call it God's will, you know, and it probably is, but it's because of faction. People didn't agree, and the churches didn't deal with it when it first came up, and that's you know, we've got a body of believers now, y'all, that love one another. I've never seen a group that is as loving and caring for one another as this group is. Not only that, we help one another. We love being around one another. And when we see a brother or a sister that's struggling, you know, you almost know it immediately. You almost know it immediately. And so we start praying for them. And that's what we do. We just pray for them. We help them on our knees. And if we see that we can help them any other way, that's what we'll do. We'll go help them, you know, whether it be whatever it is. It doesn't make any difference. Could be money issues, you know. If you got a few bucks that you can spare, you know, God's going to replace it. That's the thing about it. It's a giving group. I mean, I've never seen the like here. And I tell you what God does. He will replace every penny that you've given out and more. I've told you how many times that God has, more than I can count, that he's put money in my billfold. That happened just last week. I was wondering how I was going to get my exhaust on my truck fixed. It was hanging down. I had it hung up there with baling wire. And I figured it was going to cost me a couple of $100s. But one day I said, well, I need to check and see how much I got. And I had $200 or $300 more than I knew that I had in my billfold. So God can multiply that money. So I went up and I found this guy out in the country that worked, that had him a shop out there. And just an old country boy, but he was good. And I was just going to have him put a cherry bomb on there, because they're just about $30 is all they are. And he told me over the phone he'd install it for $32. Well, if you go to the Napa or a place like that, that cherry bomb going to cost you $30-$35 anyway. But anyway, he told me that, and I said, okay. And I found out where he was, and I went out there the next morning, or the next Monday morning, and he put an exhaust pipe, and he said, what do you think about just putting a straight pipe all the way back to the back? I said, look, I'm 68 years old. I want quiet. I don't care nothing about it sounding bad like the kids. I said, I really like to be quiet inside that cab so I can listen to my CD, the praise and worship, you know, or whatever I got going. He said, okay. He looked around on his pile over there. He said, how about I put that on there? I said, what is it? He said, that's a muffler that'll fit your truck. Brand new one. Almost brand new. It was taken off. Somebody wanted something else on it, I guess, straight pipe probably. And he had taken it off. He said, you want me to put that on there? I said, put it on there, brother. You know, I had prayed before I left with David and the prayer group that it wouldn't cost me any more than $100. You know what he wanted? He wanted $100. And I figured it up, and it would have cost me $250 if I'd gone anywhere else. And it was awesome. God can replace anything that you give out. And that's what I'm saying. God is a giving God, and he wants us to be a giving people. We give out the knowledge that we have. We give out our prayers to the people that are needing it. And it's just awesome just watch God work. But anyway, getting back on the faction things, anybody got any more questions or any more comments on faction and what it is and how to spot it? Hey, Jackie.
Hey, Michael. God bless you.
You too, girl.
Thank you.
Everything going okay?
Yes, sir. I'm just doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Praise God. Listen, do y'all care if I go ahead and give this dream or this experience that Eve had? And I think it will explain. It won't take but about 8 or 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It's called My Factious Experience and Victory by Eve Brass. Now, she's a local lady here, and her dreams are right on. Okay. It says, David says, this experience came to show how to diagnose an escape faction. She said, I wanted to share an experience I had with a demon of faction to warn the brethren and help them to more easily recognize when this demon is trying to attack their minds. Let me get this thing centered again. And David says, in a time when the Lord is interested in making his people one through sanctification, Satan is always trying to divide the strength of Christians. God uses this to sanctify the body, but we are to teach against sectarianism and faction, which are works of the flesh. Eve says, around the 1st or 2nd of January, I had a dream that I was in the vehicle of a man I know. And David says, we know and love people who have lost their battle with faction and become like someone we don't know. And that's so true. We've seen a change in people. Once that faction spirit gets on them, they're not the same person. Anyway, Eve goes on. She says, he was in the driver's seat and I was in the center of the back seat. The front seat of his vehicle was like a bench seat of a truck, and I was leaning forward with my elbows rested on the middle of the front bench seat. I was trying to help him find where he was going and pointing the way. The car was not moving because he was distracted by looking at me. I kept trying to get him to focus on the road so we could get going, but he just kept looking at me. David says, we always try to get those overtaken in faction to look at the word, which is the way of life. But the spirit in them is devoted to causing us to stumble. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. She said, I started to realize that he was looking at me and smiling in a lustful way, and I began to feel awkward. David says, those spirits lust to defile the bride. And that's a type and a shadow by Eve, who was the bride of Adam, and Jesus is the last Adam. Eve goes on to say, I noticed then that he had on a black coat. David says, representing putting on the works of darkness and hiding in darkness. Eve said, he suddenly grabbed a hold of me and kissed me. As he did this, I felt sick inside and defiled. And David said, when faction is in a person seeking to conquer us, they come on very sweet, as if they are our best friend or lover. But they begin to subtly slip in slander. And if this is received instead of cast down, the demons enter. Y'all remember that. That's so true. And it happens quickly, too. Eve said, I then went and found Missy Pollock in the restroom at David's house and told her what had happened. I asked her, what am I going to do? I don't want to be around any of the brethren because I feel so uncomfortable and awkward now. And David says, the effects of a spirit of faction makes one uncomfortable around the righteous. Wolves come to divide the flock, and their intention is not fellowship, but devouring the flock for their own lusts. And back to Eve. She asked me if I told anyone about this, and I said, only her. And she was trying to help me figure out how to handle this situation. David says, when a person feels uncomfortable or awkward around people they once loved, they should seek deliverance and not hide out. And back to Eve. Then someone came and knocked on the restroom door and told us that there was a flood coming and that we, UBM, needed to move all our vehicles to higher ground to get them away from the flood danger. So we were all out in our vehicles trying to get them to the top of the highest hills we could find. After this, the floodwaters came very quickly. And David said, according to this, a flood of destruction is about to come and take some away. We must get to high spiritual ground, heavenly places in Christ, to be safe from Satan's devices through men. This may be a confirmation of Michael Hare's dream of a faction coming to separate from the bride those who spiritually don't move to higher ground by abiding in the secret place of the Most High. This is like the two men standing in the door in Michael's dream. They said, there is a bad spirit of grace in this place that needs to be cast out. Well, the opposite of grace is law, like the Pharisees. They stand in the door of grace but feel uncomfortable to enter in, and anyone who tries to, they hinder. They sow legalism, criticism, and judgment, and so have reaped its curse unto themselves. And that's so true, guys. That is so true. Eve says, when I woke up from this dream, I was very distraught. It seemed so real. My mind wasn't at peace anymore, and worry and anxiety came over me. And sadness also. David says, one can never be justified before God in this state. Fear takes the place of faith. These and criticism are signs of faction. Eve says, I told David and Michael about the dream after the morning prayer meeting and asked them to pray with me for this man. And David had in there a factious man. So we all agreed and bound up any demons that might be in him. David said, let us cry for mercy for the factious, that their eyes be open to the necessity of forgiveness and love. Eve goes on and she says, as the next week wore on, I noticed that I was beginning to think negatively and critically about my UBM brethren. All their flaws and mannerisms became distorted and exaggerated to all my senses. It became painful to listen to their laughter and liberty in the Lord. I began to feel like an outsider and like I didn't belong. I started to feel alone, cut off, and sad. David says, this is the exact fruit of the factious way. Then Eve says, early in the week, every time this demon would accuse someone to my mind, I would initially think that it was my thought. David said, this is common, and they believe this is God speaking about somebody. And then Eve says, but by Thursday, I realized that it was a demonic spirit that brought these thoughts that were lies about my brethren, just baseless accusations. And I began to cast these thoughts down every time they came into my mind. and say, nope, that's not the truth. The word says, love thinks no evil. But the thoughts kept coming more and more, like a barrage, a constant assault, droning on and on, complaining to me about different brethren. David says, the norm when these spirits enter in is they seek to wear you down with slander and criticism. Cast them out or seek help to do this. And Eve goes on and says, this became painful to me, to my spirit man. I felt defiled inside and wondered what was wrong with me. After the morning prayer meeting at the end of the week, Michael Hare asked me if I was okay. I could tell, y'all, I could tell that she was struggling with something. I was surprised that he asked me that. My knee-jerk response was, yeah, I'm fine. I just got a lot on my mind. But when I got home, I laid down, and in frustration, I asked, Father, what is wrong with me, Father? And I heard him say, it isn't you. And then the scene from that dream flashed in my mind when that man or demon kissed me. I thought to myself, that's where it entered into me. I need to tell Michael and David and expose this thing. This was the key. And David said, yes, drag them into the light to destroy them. Always seek help immediately. These spirits seek to possess you quickly. So you must move quickly. Then back to Eve. She says, I typed up the whole experience and sent it to David and Michael, and the minute I hit the send button, I felt that evil spirit shoot out of the back of my head. Praise God. David says, they hate the light because it's destructive to them. A person in faction hides their sins and blames everyone else for them. And he quotes John 3:19, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Eve says, I instantly felt relief in all the bad feelings and anxiety and feeling cut off and separated from fellowship with my brethren just melted off of me. I felt so light and happy again, like a child. I felt warm love flow back into my heart. That deep love that Father has for us, I was able to feel it again. I was no longer separated from my brethren. David says, love of the brethren has returned. And then he quotes 1 John 3:14. It says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, cannot love God whom he hath not seen. Chapter 5 and verse 1 of 1 John. Whosoever loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And David says, warning, when a factious spirit is cast out, it will seek to return and will be successful if its legal right is not removed, which is a sin of unforgiveness, criticism, anger, jealousy, strife, pride, etc. Without repentance and deliverance, it'll be able to return. And Eve goes on to say, and she says, I'm grateful to our Father for allowing me to experience this trial, to see the stark differences between a factious, critical person and someone filled with the love of Christ. I asked the Father for a verse for this experience and received Psalm 74:19. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people hath blasphemed thy name. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the wild beast. Forget not the life of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of violence. O, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee all the day. And Eve says, and she ends with, I pray that this will help my brethren to recognize and overcome these factious demons. Love to you all, Eve. And David said, God sends factious spirits to cleanse his body. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. David says, get help quickly. You have no forgiveness from God with these spirits and no benefits of the kingdom. Go boldly to the throne of grace to receive help. Go to the mercy seat. We have the victory in Christ. Eve was given this to warn those who do not overcome. Now, on the broadcast, David even goes deeper into it, so it's a good lesson. Is there any questions or anything anybody would like to comment on about what we just read there?
Can you repeat that psalm? Hello?
Yeah, that's that is Psalm 74:19-22. I guess that's what it is. Wait a minute, that doesn't look right. Yeah. Psalm 74:19-22, I mean. You better check that out, Andrew, because he's got it as Psalm 74:19, but it's got two 19s there. So I'm not sure.
Well, maybe the emphasis is on 19. the first verse you read.
There you go. Okay, anybody else? Would you like to... does everybody understand a little bit better about faction and how it can be detected and how it can be... how dangerous it is?
Michael?
Yes, Wade. Go ahead, sir.
I ain't no sir. Sorry about that. I've been having trouble with that. People calling me sir, and I feel like somebody kind of calling me master or something like that. And I have trouble with that.
I was just recognizing old age, that's all.
I'm about your age. So we're both old.
Oh, yeah, I know. I am too.
I have a problem. I had a lady come to my house where my wife and I were together. We're always together, but I mean, we were in the same room. And she wanted advice on how to handle a situation that brought up a critical spirit in me. And now, since I've talked to her about the situation, the doctors are thinking about trying to put her back on medication, so I don't think I did good saying that she's religious now. I'm wondering what I can do to reverse harm to her cancel the spirit from attacking through me by doing anything to anybody. And today, the same spirit arose when somebody told me about, well, was a maintenance man, told me about the working conditions under the managers and how one manager is doing what she's being, the head manager is crushing everybody beneath her. And I guess I got a little fascist with that, too. I don't want to be fascist. I don't want to have a critical spirit. I used to have to fight with critical spirits a long time ago. I had a big battle with them. And I don't know why. I mean, Jesus is... Anyways,
I'll tell you what you can do, Wade. Well, I'll tell you what you... I can tell you what you can do. When they start... when they come up... These are... I assume these are un... these are pagans, people who are not Christians.
Mary believes, and she's coming close to the Lord, but what I did seems to got her in trouble with this psychiatrist. She believes, and she gives liberally. So my spirit is attracted by that she's maturing enough to receive doctrine from me, and she comes to me for doctrine. So... And I mess it up and have a fascist spirit speak through me. I feel low, like a worm.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do next time. She does that and she wants some advice. Just tell her, well, let's pray and ask God's wisdom in this. And, you know, I know what happens sometimes is we get caught up in that critical spirit because you feel like that they have been wronged by somebody. Or whatever, you know, whatever the case. But
That is the case.
Yeah, we don't know what she's saying is the truth. I'm not saying that she's lying, but you can tell her, just like David and I were talking about earlier, that you can say, look, here's what the word says. Now, did you say that she was criticizing somebody?
She was wanting somebody to stop flirting with her, and she didn't know how to stop it. So she went to the management, and management told them both not to talk. And then she was coming to me saying some other stuff. So I tried to manage to ask the Lord, you know, what to do, and I lost it. I don't know where I lost it, but I lost it. And I kind of... agreed with her that, oh, he's such a bad man. And other than just thought, it's not that he was a bad man. It's the situation that they're working with each other. The spirit's going back and forth between them. But she's a godly woman. She comes and reads the Bible with us. It hasn't been recently, but used to be she would come several times a week to read the Bible with us. And so I was happy for that.
Well, just point out to her Matthew 18 and 15.
Matthew.
Just point that out to her and say, look, we can't be talking about other people unless you go to them. And if she was asking you advice of what to do, just say, go to them and tell them you're not interested or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is. But if she's a Christian and she's wanting to walk like a Christian, just tell her what the Word says. The Word says that you shouldn't be criticizing these people. Just tell her one thing it does is it's a factious spirit, and you're passing around this spirit or trying to pass around this spirit to other people, and it's affecting my life. And you can tell her that because it did, you said. And you just explain to her what faction is, just like we did tonight, you know. Explain to her what it is and how God sees it. God sees it as a divisive spirit. It's a demon spirit.
Uh-huh.
But do it in a loving way, Wade.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, just sit her down and say, well, let's see what the Word says. The Word says right here in Matthew 18 and 15 that you ought to go to that brother. Because what happens, you can tell her this, what happens is you get unforgiveness in your heart. Now you're in trouble. Because of your unforgiveness, because God's not going to forgive you unless you forgive them, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of a circle of sin, you might say.
Right. Right, well, I don't want to be a part of the sin.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be a part of the redeeming grace that God has for me.
Yeah. Anybody else got any more words of wisdom for Wade on that? Well, all right. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to ask or talk about here?
Michael, I thought it was kind of interesting that David talked about faction last night, and in the mornings always, me and my wife, we open our book like you guys do and put our finger down on a verse, and we both got verses concerning faction yesterday morning.
Oh, well, see, that's what he's been giving us too, Marlon. You know, and what he's doing, he's confirming the word to us, you know, that this, we've had an faction attacks here recently. We've prayed it down, though. We've prayed it down, and praise God for it. So, yeah. Everybody understands that when you get a word and it's a negative word, you need to meditate on it and find out what it's about. And then start praying against it. It may be for your family, or it may be for the fellowship. It may be for, you know, whatever. Now, that's what we do. We get words in the morning, and if they all line up towards something, we pray against it. If it's a warning, you know. It might be an encouragement. We've had them where a lot of times in the past where God was just telling us time after time after time that the anointing of the man-child is coming. It's here. It's almost here. He'd tell us that in the Word. And, gosh, those are the good ones. You know, we don't like to get the warnings, but we're glad we get them. We're glad we get them. We're learning how to fight against them. When I first came here, a lot of people were taken out because of the faction. Because we didn't know how to deal with them. Spiritually speaking, come against that spirit on our knees and fight in the heavenlies instead of fighting one another, you know. And once we learned that, oh, it's been smooth sailing, or a whole lot smoother sailing. There's not as much bloodshed now, you might say, as it has been in the past, because we've learned to get on our knees as soon as God shows us that there's an attack coming. And many, many, many times he's just completely thwarted the enemy's plans that we didn't even have to deal with it in a bad way, you know. But anyway, that's that factious spirit. I saw it jump on a guy once while I was here. And made a complete cartoon character out of him. And most of those that get taken out with the factious spirit go back under the law, because they're not willing to repent of the unforgiveness, the anger, or whatever it is, criticism, or whatever it is. They're not willing to get rid of it. And what God does, he just erases all the knowledge that they had gained while they were at UBM and puts them back at level one, or maybe even minus one. We had one guy come here that was had a lot of ambition, and he wanted to be somebody, and he wasn't willing to deal with that pride and that ambition. And God took him out, and he got a little factious, and God took him out. And this was a spirit-filled guy. Went into the Mormon church. And, you know, that's just, and another guy, just here in the last couple of years, went back under the law as a Judaizer now. So what God does, he takes away all that they had and gives it to somebody else, just like it says in the Word. Takes it all away from them. And they're back under the law. And you know what happens to people that are under the law? They don't go to heaven. There's no Christ in them. Unless God does a mighty miracle in them, you know, they're off. They're off the list. So it's a serious thing. It's a very that spirit works quicker than anything I've ever seen. That spirit of faction, it works quicker than anything I've ever seen before. I mean, even the false revival, it seems like they have to lay hands on you in order to get that Kundalini spirit. This faction spirit, all you have to do is sit and listen to somebody criticize somebody, and that spirit will jump on you and take you over. And I know that some of us may have a spirit of rejection, and we don't like to correct people when it happens. But I'm telling you, if you don't, I'm talking about people that are Christians, that call themselves Christians. If you don't stop it, it'll get on you. That critical spirit will get on you. Next thing you know, you find yourself out the door. So, yeah, it's serious stuff. It's real serious stuff. And we deal with it in a loving way. We don't deal with it with a hammer. We deal with it in a loving way. We sit them down. We show them the scriptures. And say, brother, you know, this is what's happening. Here's what the word says about what's happening. And then you bring it to them and show it to them. And, man, let's pray, you know. And they'll do one of two things. Either that spirit will jump up and say, I don't have to listen to this. And they'll walk out the door. Or they're ready to go with God. So that's that critical, factious spirit. It is a vile spirit, a bad spirit. All you have to do is listen to somebody, and it'll get on you. Okay, anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
I missed the first hour, so I'm not exactly and I'm not exactly sure, but I just do have a question. When you're talking about this spirit, you're talking about professed Christians, like not people in the world, that because I'm surrounded by a lot of people that complain and talk about each other and different things, like, but they're not really, I mean, they're an apostate religion, you know, they're, some are professed Catholics, some don't even go to church, you know, some never even speak about God, so, are you speaking of these kind of people, too? I mean, I disassociate myself, like, from the conversation and try to redirect it and things like that, but sometimes things come up. You know, and then you kind of have to be weak to the weak and listen to them pour out their heart, too.
Yeah, well, here's what we were talking about earlier, Jackie. If it's somebody that professes to be a Christian and they say that they're a Christian, what you should do is say, look, you know, here's what the Word of God says about what you're doing now. And I'm not trying to hit you over the head with it, but I'm trying to walk a Christian life myself, and I want to be in God's perfect will. And if I'm outside of the scriptures of what God's perfect will is, then I'm not doing what God wants me to do. So I just want to read this to you to show you where I'm at. And I would ask that you didn't do this anymore, you know, and kind of approach it in a loving way. You know, I said that kind of funkified, but you understand where I'm going with it. And put it in that respect. And if it's somebody in the world and they know you're a Christian, you say, well, just approach it the same way. I'm a Christian, and I have certain moral values that and certain things that I can and I'm not supposed to do. And one of them is to criticize somebody else behind his back. And the Word of God tells me that I have to go to that person and talk to him before I talk to anybody else and give him a chance to respond to what I'm saying, because what that creates is unforgiveness, and unforgiveness keeps me out of heaven. You know, you can think of it in that kind of respect. I don't know. Has anybody else got a better way?
Amen. That's good. Thank you.
That's the way I approach it anyway. But I'll tell you what it'll do. First time you do that, then they, you know, most likely they won't come back and try to criticize somebody around you, because they know you're trying to walk a holy life. And as such, they'll at least honor that.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I think I didn't have it muted when I blew my nose a while ago. I want to apologize to everybody.
Hello. I have a question about something that happened to me today. Are you there?
I'm trying to be, I guess. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
My boss's brother passed away, okay? And people got to talking about people who got passed away, okay? And there's this one lady at my workplace. She's a part-timer, but they call her in to do extra work. And she confided in me about a person that she knew who actually killed himself. And what he did was he was a father, and he took precautions to hide what he was doing from his children, because he killed himself in his garage. And she said it in details of what he did. And afterwards, she said, you know, he took all these precautions to do this, but you would think that his mind would be on why he would want to do this to himself. And it just seemed to me that she got a real good thought there, that his mind was in the wrong place. And, you know, I don't even think this is a Christian woman. And I said to her, you know, there are a lot of people out there trying to figure this out. And, you know, that's a real close thing to know where your mind is, your mindset is on some of these things, because she discerned that he was thinking of doing this, but why wasn't he thinking of the outcome of what he was going to do? You know, he made all these details to leave the garage door cracked a bit open so that, you know, his children wouldn't see what he was going to do in there with himself, but he wanted someone to find out afterwards. And she had a discernment that he's going to kill himself, but he wanted to hide it from his children, what he did. And he set it up in such a form so that he knew that an adult would see him there first. And I just said to her, you know, if you really think that way in your mind to go after these spirits, you know, that's really close to the kingdom of heaven. And she was actually shocked that I said that. And then, of course, I threw out the full gospel after that, but I don't think she got it. And, you know, I don't know what she was trying to get at there, but, you know, it was just very interesting that she was thinking on why this person wasn't thinking about what he was about to do, but try to hide it from his children to find out what he was going to do when he killed himself. And it ended up that they didn't see him or find him. It was, I think, his wife or someone who went in and found him. And it was, she didn't go too much into the details, but it was just weird that she would think of that and say, you know, she said, you'd think that his mind would be on what he was trying to do to himself, you know. And I just found it interesting that it almost seemed like she knew
about spiritual warfare or something, you know. And anyway, that's what sort of happened to me today, and I don't even know if I'm making sense.
Well, did she know beforehand that this guy was going to do that, or did they find out later that that's what he was doing? Hiding the fact.
Oh, no, no, she didn't. Well, she found out from someone else. Someone confided in her about, because the topic of death was in the air because of what happened to my boss's brother, and she confided me on this, and she actually told me about how her ex-husband passed away. In a weird way, but you know, I didn't really ask her what kind of religion she was or anything. I just they know I sit in the back corner and read the Bible during break anyway, so I just don't know how to take some things, and one other person in my workplace is kind of a little bit mean, and he would bite at me with this kind of stuff, that I believe in God and read the Bible and say other things that are just totally off topic about it, about all religion, actually. Anyway, that's just there's a lot of things going on in my workplace there, and I just try and fight the best I can to not demean anyone and talk about anyone behind their back, and try to change the subject or turn it around to a different direction. But it's a constant bombardment from some of the people there, because there's a lot of hatred, and you know, and well, a lot of worldly stuff, and I just don't know what to do sometimes, and just constantly trying to not think about it. And anyway, well, that's all. I just thought it was interesting that she knew that this, he was taking these precautions so that his children wouldn't find his dead body. And she said, you'd think he'd be thinking about not doing this, you know, because he's thinking about taking all these precautions. Why isn't he thinking straight about what he's doing? And I just said, you know, if everyone was to have that sort of discernment in catching these things before they happen, he wouldn't have done it, you know. It just points to that he didn't have Christ in him to combat this spirit of killing himself. And anyway, that's I just found it amazing that she actually even thought that way. I wonder if she actually applies it for real when she's thinking of things. Anyway, that's all.
Well, people who commit suicide, they're taken over by the demons anyway. They can't think straight. There's no straight thinking in them. It looks like sometimes that they might be like this guy, figuring out a way not to let his children know, but his children's going to find out one way or the other. I mean, that was unless he just didn't want them to see his body. But no, that's a stupid demon that jumps on people and makes them completely out of their realm of understanding. It takes them out of their natural inclination is to live, right? So, and they take it out of them.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Martin.
We've talked to a lot of young people at the detention centers, and some of them on suicide watch, and if they think you know about demons, they will almost 100% of the time tell you that the demons told them to commit suicide. They won't talk about it. If they don't think you believe, you know, that you know what they're talking about, they won't talk about it. But if they think you know about demons, they'll admit that the demons told them to kill themselves.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And they're crying out, aren't they, Marlon, most of the time?
Yeah, they are. The thing is, in those detention centers, if they do, and the people that don't run the place, you know, the first thing they'll do is put them on drugs and put them in a, you know, they'll do something with them, and those kids know that, and they won't even talk about it to people who don't know about demons. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah, I know. I know. They want to put them on a drug to drug them out. That's the way they do. I've got my second daughter has tried to commit suicide, and they just drug her up, you know. And you try to talk to them, and it's not going to get through until God's ready for it to get through. The Lord has to take them to a place to where they'll listen. And, yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Suicide is... that's a tough demon, but it's been defeated many times before. But not with drugs. Drugs just dumb them down for a while. Keep them off of that that wanting to commit suicide, I guess. I don't know. I know it dumbs them down. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, let's see. That is Matthew's wife.
Yeah, Anna.
Okay.
I just wanted to share real quick that I had a dream a week or two ago, and there was a bunch of stuff going on in the dream, and I don't remember what was going on. But it wasn't an audible voice, but that a storm was coming, and I needed to read Isaiah 62. And I didn't know what that was, so when I woke up, I grabbed my Bible, and I thought it was going to be, you know, talking about judgment to come and stuff, because in the dream it was that a storm was coming, but it's all about the bride, and I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, what was that reference again?
I needed to read Isaiah 62, and it's at the top of the section. It says, you know, Zion's glory and new name. And
oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see here. Did he say what verse, or did he say the whole thing?
Just Isaiah 62.
Okay. I'm going to read it because that's a good one. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over these. He's talking about the bride here. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrances, take ye no rest, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies, and foreigners shall not drink thy new wine for which thou hast labored, but they that have garnered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. That is a direct order from the Lord. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up an ensign for the peoples. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, that's the bride, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Do y'all understand the implications of being in the bride? When you're in the bride, you're protected, just like Jerusalem was. When all the armies came against the whole land, they defeated the whole land but Jerusalem. And when the Assyrian army came against them, 185,000 died outside the gates of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was not taken. That's the bride. That's what God's going to do in this day ahead. And that is a good, good scriptures there. What is your name again? I'm sorry.
Anna Stewart.
Jana or Dana? Well, anyway, that is a good one, and that's the type of scriptures that we've been getting here also, is that the bride is fixing to be a part of this glorious time we got ahead of us here. And everybody, God wants everybody to be in the bride, but it's only going to be a select few that have overcome self and the world. And you only do that by faith, you know. It's nothing that we do. We just believe God's doing it in us. Just like David. You've heard David say 2 Corinthians 3:18 many times about looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus every time you walk by there. And when you're doing that, you're doing it by faith. Because, you know, I can look in the mirror and I don't see nothing but an old, ugly old faith. But when I look at it spiritually speaking, I'm looking at Jesus. I say, there goes Jesus, praise God. Look at that, that's Jesus all over that man. And I'm talking about myself because I'm doing it by faith. It's not arrogant and it's not self-centered to do that. That's what God wants us to do. Because when you speak it out of your mouth, you're acting on what God's already told you. And that's the mark of being in the bride, is doing everything that God tells you to do, being obedient to the commands that God has given you. And when he brings something in front of you that he sees is wrong in your life, repent. Get back on the road. And, you know, repent and believe. That's what he said, right? That's all he said to do. Repent and believe. That's all we have to do, is repent and have faith to believe that God's doing that work in us. And I, for one, want to be in the... I want to be all that God wants me to be, right? And I know y'all do, too. And that's what that scripture's talking about right there, is the bride. That's a good one. Praise God. That's a good encouragement. I'm going to tell the prayer team about that in the morning. Is that okay? Yep, it's going to be okay. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Thank you for sharing that. That was awesome. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to talk about before we get out of here? We got a little bit of time left. We got 5 minutes, about 4 minutes left. Any prayer requests? Well, all right. You know, just on a little side note, we're believing for Hawaiian weather here in this valley over here. And I believe we're going to see it. You know why I believe we're going to see it? Because of our faith. God showed it to us. I believe it was in a dream or something. And so we just started saying that. We started believing it. I say it a lot. And because I say it a lot, every chance I get, they bought me a Hawaiian shirt the other day and brought it to me. I said, you just wait. I'm going to be wearing that. Okay, let's go ahead and pray if nobody's got anything else they'd like to share. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this night tonight, Lord. This talk on faction, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your wisdom in this and giving that wisdom to all of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's getting through to our hearts, and we'll recognize this faction spirit. Excuse me. I had to sneeze. I'm sorry. But, Lord, I just thank you that people are going to recognize this spirit for what it is, and they're going to cast it down immediately, not get involved with it. And, Lord, I thank you for these teachings that you're giving us on it in hand. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be something that the enemy's not going to like to get out there, but it ain't going to be nothing he can do about it because you're the one in charge. And praise God, we get this, and we know how to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And he is defeated. That spirit of faction is defeated. That spirit of criticism is defeated. That spirit of judgmentalism is defeated in Jesus' name. And I cast it off of everybody here in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we are cleansed of this faction spirit, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you've placed it in everybody's heart to recognize it when it comes back around and sticks its head in our business. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Protect us, provide for us, and give us more revelations out of your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody, and we love you.